Hello.
Good evening.
And we're recording the epic marathon of awesome.
This is the fourth one for this evening.
Just don't even want to know. I could
Even
pull up
if
the little
it's
thing, but I'm
even,
not even gonna. It might be
no,
the.
I
It
don't
might.
even.
It might be the fifth.
I think it's the fifth. You're right. I think it's
I
the
think
fifth.
it's the fifth. But it's funny because apparently it started off just being about like transparency in terms of MS, but it's become a meta issue, transparency on so many different levels, which is so fascinating. To pick up where we just left off, we were talking about transparency in terms of what you see in a relationship dynamic versus what's actually happening between the people involved, and how protocols, how play and protocols are what we see, right? But what you don't see is the reasons for that or the depth behind what's happening. And it's interesting to think about how many people will talk about protocols or rules or regulations, how they practice their DS or MS, but there's no way for the bystander to really know what's actually going on. And that's possibly contributing, oh no, that's definitely contributing to the fact that so many kinky folks are doing the things but don't necessarily know why or have a particular grounding in it. I can watch 5 hours of play in a dungeon at a convention and then go back to my hotel room and think, how much, what did I actually see? I saw someone hitting someone else with a stick. I have no idea why they were hitting that person with a stick. I have no idea the person being hit with a stick has this done to them every day, or if it was their first time, if it's a punishment, if it's a reward. Like, I don't know any of that stuff. If I watch someone get someone else a cup of coffee, I don't know what the fuck that means. And it might not mean anything. It might just mean I'm just getting you a coffee because you need coffee, and if I don't have it, you're going to bite my head off. Or it could be this is a culmination of weeks and months of anticipation of being able to provide this service, and the person is just brimming with joy and wonderfulness at the back end of that. And the transparency that we get when we hear other people's stories and we share in other people's lives is that that stuff we don't see now becomes visible to us in some small way. And I think that's, another value added to transparency, because you can never know. It's so much of what we do is physical and beautiful, but a lot of, but the root of what we do is often in our hearts or in our brains, and that's not what we see.
It's true, and it's hard for us to see that which can be, it's hard for us to see that which can be the most transformative, the most sublime, right? The most rewarding. You can watch a whole bunch of really physical, hot scenes that are happening in a dungeon in a play space, as you're saying, but in fact, at that night, in that moment, the most transformative thing that's happening is a quiet conversation off to one side between two people that is fully committed and connected and engaged in the dynamic that those two people share, and is actually changing both of those people for the immensely greater good. The difficulty around transparency, and this is something that I just thought of right now, so I'm going to unpack it a little bit. The difficulty around transparency, it's connected to my use of the word sublime, I think. I am not an essentially spiritual person. I will preface everything I'm saying by that, but I know many people for whom their engagement in BDSM, their engagement in kink, their engagement in service, their engagement in devotion is amazingly spiritual. And part of what is able to preserve the sacredness of what it is that they're doing is a certain lack of transparency. That there is an interest, there is a drive to not be overly transparent as a kind of protection. So that there's actually a benefit in now, I
In
guess what
maintaining the mystery.
in maintaining the mystery, but I guess I'm what I'm talking about maybe a little bit more is sort of playing one's cards closer to one's chest, to not necessarily having to be so open and declarative about how this particular act of devotion feeds you in a total spiritual way, and like what everything means to you in that moment, because the risk that you run in that moment is having somebody say, Oh yeah, that's just regular. Or, oh no, that's wrong. You're supposed to do it this way.
Right.
And for someone for whom the depths in which they engage or with which they engage, that it does kind of toe the line or even, entirely walk over the line of the sacred. There is a certain, there is not only, I think, a certain power and protection in keeping things occult, right? Keeping certain things unknown. But it makes it so much more, it makes it so much more yours. It makes it so much more unique. It makes it so much more precious because perhaps it occupies the realm of the untainted.
And I will say that I agree with that. And it's interesting because as I think, of course, I'm like, well, I don't know, is that true? And I'm like, oh no, it's true. And I'm like, oh no, wait, it's definitely true. As I scroll through my little mental list of situations where that mystery or that detachment might have served a purpose. But my first reaction to what you were saying was, well, but then it becomes you and another person having your own experiences versus a shared experience. Now, is that not a valuable thing to do? Of course, it is a valuable thing to do. There is a great deal to be said for someone, for example, if someone wants to experience an ordeal in a scene, if someone wants to serve a higher power, for example, and the person who is on the other side of the whip or the service is the vessel for that particular energy, then yes. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be that it's this complete gut pouring. This is my inner journey. This is what's going on for me. Yada 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 yada. By the same token, I've certainly had experiences, and one super valuable experience where the person who I was doing the scene with, who's not even a kinky person, but you know, very woo in terms of their energy work and in terms of their sexuality work, et cetera, basically in the midst of all this submissiveness that I was pouring out. Sort of in a very blindly trusting way, because I was like, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know if you can really accept this because this is not your gig. But in that moment, what they said was, this is you. This is all yours. This belongs to you. This energy, this joy, this whatever, all of this is yours. And for me, what was an incredible epiphany about that was I had not fully realized until that point how much I was relying on having someone else there to serve for me to feel complete and whole as a submissive person. And I sort of felt like, okay, well, if I'm not serving someone, then I don't really exist. You know, that seems extreme and weird, but that's true. That was very true for me. And at that moment, I said, oh my God, what if this is mine? What if this feeling, what if this is just who I am and I can access it at any time? Versus feeling sad and lonely and wanting to serve somebody, I can just say, oh my God, I am super awesome. Because this is an aspect of my personality. And so I was having a very singular experience that was facilitated and assisted by this other person. I didn't know anything about what their mindset was at the time, and I didn't really care. Because that wasn't what this was, that was not what that was about at that particular moment. And I think that when people do that kind of, have that kind of interaction with presence and authenticity, that can be really amazing. And wouldn't it be cool if that's what people are doing when they are having those singular moments, is that they really are diving deep and finding some really cool shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I like the idea of there's so much benefit to being able to say so much benefit to being able to say I'm doing this I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing this in affirmation or in exaltation of myself. That doesn't preclude me doing something for you. But But it is, but everything that one does, or everything that one can do that is joyous, I think can and probably should be an affirmation of the self. And whether if it helps you to think of yourself as being divine, if it helps you to think of yourself as being sacred, then that's helpful. If you want to do something for a higher power,
Right.
that could also be helpful. Because what that means is, that the essential, the you that is true, right? The essential part of you isn't based on the presence of someone else.
Correct.
But that's harder to reconcile when the things that we do that allow us to recognize ourselves as being, let's say, sadists or masochists, let's say submissives or dominants, are about other people.
Right.
Right? That old argument of like, well, if I don't have anybody caller to me, then obviously I'm not a dominant. Like, what the shit is that?
Well, it is definitely the belief of a certain school of thought in the master slave community is that if you are not doing, you are not.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I think it tantamount to saying, when the lights are off, I'm no longer a black woman because you can't see me. It's like no. And actually, if you put on a different color, like, does my skin color change? Scientifically, yes. I'm actually now a different color because it's just all about light refracting, baby. It's all illusory. You are technically right, but you are essentially wrong because my experience in this body does not change because of a light bulb. My experience of submission or dominance or anything do not change because of my state.
Well, that's it.
I believe that very strongly, and I understand people don't, but I don't like them. I don't like
Well, and to me, I'm much more on your page. I definitely agree. I think that there's a difference between there's a huge difference between one's essence and one's state.
Right.
Like the essence of a person and that person's state of being, current state of being. To me is really obvious. I recently had somebody ask me if I could ever picture myself being in a monogamous relationship. And my response to them was, I could imagine a situation wherein I would act monogamously in a relationship. But I am not a monogamous person. My essence of being as a non-monogamous person doesn't change, even if I only happen to be involved with one person.
Yeah, I think that that's difficult for people to grok.
I totally think that it is.
And I had the bizarre experience of when I was first involved. And the thing is that all of my partners have been more along the polyamorous, non-monogamous scale than I am, like way further out there. And I had several poly people say, wait a second, so are you polyamorous now? And I said, no, I'm still monoamorous. I'm not monogamous because I'm just like, I want to be slutty, but the heart is with this one person. And these people going, but you're with a poly person, so don't you have to now be? I'm like, no. What? I had a hard time understanding where they were coming from with that,
Right.
and so I can see where because what you do is so what people attach to. They want to understand you in terms of your actions and your behaviors, and that's easier because you have to crack open your brain and think if something does not fit within the strictures of your story, of that label, that definition, that approach.
Right.
And you kind of have to go, well, hold on a second. What does that actually mean? I'm like, well, it actually means you have to think for a second. And it means that I have to be transparent, which I'm fine with because I want to have people stress their brains a little bit. I want you to stop and think for a fucking second about what the hell it is that you were doing.
Yes.
You know, because when you stop and think about it, you open yourself up to all kinds of other possibilities. And I'm just like, wow, isn't that amazing? No, you can be entirely poly and involved with an entirely monogamous person, or kind of poly, whatever, or kind of submissive and also dominant, or, you know, incredibly introverted and dominant, or incredibly loud and obnoxious and pushy and submissive.
Yeah,
But then you got to think about stuff.
it's trying to wrap your head around what you perceive as being unshakable key elements of a person, and trying to wrap your head around those things actually existing on a spectrum, not in completely distinct boxes, is really it's I mean it's not easy.
No.
Because because part of what that also means is you need to be willing to look at a person and say, you are going to change. You are going to change in the 5 minutes that we are talking.
Yeah. So do you know, and I wonder if maybe that's what people use labels for, is to try to have them as a, in my opinion, futile bulwark against change. It's like what you said. You were this. And isn't that how you are? And versus saying, well, who are you right now? Who are you with me? Who are you in this particular dynamic? And acknowledging, no, not just, and celebrating the fact that that is going to change. And knowing that that change, even if the change means that you can no longer be in that dynamic that you found so juicy and so delicious, but to appreciate the fact that that makes you more human and more engaging and more interesting and more vital. And
Right, but what it doesn't give people is it doesn't give people the comfort of as the comfort of the belief, the comfort in the belief of longevity, right? Because we still qualify.
Is that a word?
Which one?
Longevity or longevity? I was like, is that what is the what? I'm sorry, go on.
It's a Canadian word.
Well
I don't even know.
saved.
I don't
Well
thank you.
saved.
I don't actually even know.
That's a great thing about English, is that like I'm like, I know what you meant, but then in my brain was like, wait, is that a word? Is that
No, I think you're right. Maybe lawn.
longevity?
Yeah,
I think you had an extra syllable in there.
I did.
That's awesome.
Syllable. Once again, it's a Canadian thing. That we still qualify relationships based on duration. And the we being able to put people into compartments, being able to use labels, is a way of saying, well, this is the way in which we are going to relate. This we recognize that this relationship dynamic functions, so therefore let us preserve this relationship dynamic so that we can continue to function as a pair. But if this dynamic changes, then we have to reevaluate whether we can continue as a pair.
Right.
As a
Fair. Or a group, if you are.
or whatever, yeah.
Or
A
a
double
loosely
group,
affiliated tribe.
yeah. A pod. I don't even want
Nice.
to know. Thank you. But that ignores the essential fluid nature of humans. That ignores the fact that people do exist on a spectrum, that people do change, and that you can never tell what is going to cause change in someone. So you can either try to plan for every possible contingency, in which case you'll just get spun out trying to cover all of your bases, or you can plan for nothing and then just be open and receptive to whatever actually happens to come to you.
Right. And if you're going to live in that state, then the transparency, because I'm bringing it around again, blog reach around, is that if you are transparent, as this happens, it won't come out and spring out and bite you on the ass. Your
Well,
process.
it just won't be scary.
Yeah.
Or sorry, it won't be as scary.
Right. Well, it and it can still be scary, but
Yeah.
you will the scary thing that you see coming a mile away that you're just like, oh, here comes this thing. That could be scary. And the closer it gets, the bigger it gets. Or perhaps the closer it gets, it stays small.
Yeah.
But if you are engaged in a way that allows that transparency to happen, you have a fighting chance at weathering it. And what's the word I'm looking for? And having the process be something that you value versus having the process be something that incites fear or anxiety.
Yes.
You know, and that is that's something that is very difficult. I know, especially in DS or MS dynamics, I can tell you, you can stand in a room full of S types and say, how many of you have an easy time of it when you have an issue or difficulty with your dominant and you need to raise it to them? How many of you are just like, you're ready to go? If there's 100 of them in the room, maybe 2 will raise their hands.
Right.
And the rest of them are going to be like,
Now, I bet you if I was to stand in a room of D types and say, how many of you have created specific protocol that allows your submissive the freedom and the space and the agency to express a concern in a way that doesn't make them feel like they are threatening or betraying the dynamic?
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably have the same number of people.
Right. That's what the fuck the fucking Prime Directive is fucking for. Fuck.
Yes.
I had to throw that extra fuck in there.
That's fine. I came up with longevity. So. Right. You saw my longevity and you raised me a fuck. I think that's fine. Maybe I'll come out with something else in the next whatever we have left, 8 minutes or so. But I do agree with you about the Prime Directive. But the Prime Directive is in this kind of situation, the Prime Directive is step one. Like the
right.
Prime Directive is not what the Prime Directive is not. Is the Prime Directive is not specific protocol. And
no.
That's the thing that can't be missing. That if you're in a situation, if you're in a relationship dynamic that has any kind of a protocol aspect to it at all, then there might not be the perceived space for the submissive, the slave, the property, to express a concern.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be some kind of, and I would say that I would say that this is more important than I think a lot of people give it credit for, or that it's more important than a lot of people would consider it. But I feel like there needs to be a structure in place for the S type to express that they have a concern.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that will allow them to talk about that concern with a brief cessation of dynamic.
Right. I don't disagree with you personally. I know that for some people, the idea of cessation of dynamic is alien and or anathema, because they're like, well, I can't, it doesn't stop because that's who I am.
Yes.
But to that, I respond, okay. So if you think about it in those terms, what you're not doing is ceasing the dynamic. What you are doing is shifting it.
Sure.
You are shifting from a point where you are in service to the dynamic and you're in service to the dominant or owner, but you are first in service to yourself in the dynamic. And you now have to act as your own lawyer, essentially. You have to
yes.
get up there and represent yourself.
Yes.
And that is where I think the agency comes in. And it's not just to say this is something you can do. It's to say, it's to have the dominant say it is something that you must do. That is your, it is imperative to our relationship and to me that you are able to have that transparency and trust that there will not be repercussions, ramifications, that the sharing itself will not be some sort of issue.
Right. And that this is not a trap.
Right.
Right. I'm not trying to trap you. I'm not trying to trick you. That this is a desire of mine. That it's important to me that you take care of yourself. And in order for you to take care of yourself, you need to feel that you can express these things to me. I recognize that it might be problematic or difficult given the dynamic that we are in. Therefore, I want to work with you to determine a way that you feel comfortable and safe inside the dynamic, if that's required, to express the concern. So it's not a thing of you just sort of springing up and saying, I have a big problem with this in the middle of something that's going on, because obviously that's going to break the dynamic and that's not actually going to be probably helpful for either person.
Yeah. And it can be distracting and it can be weird, but you're right. I think that having the protocol set up so that the conversation can happen in a safe way, and not just have it come from the dominant handed down. You know, it has to be also from the submissive, to say, what is going to be the best and most expedient way for you? Because for me, face to face might be the easiest, but there's some days I'm like, I could not look you in the eye. Here's a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And have that be as weighty as any other form of communication.
Yes.
And have and know for a fact and have that be honestly laid out there. That is not just what the dominant wants, but that, yes, not a trap, that you're not going to have this shit blown back and used against you, that your transparency is not going to somehow become a marker of your lack of submission or whatever that is.
And from the dominant perspective, you have to be ready to listen to that which your submissive says to you and not take it as a personal attack.
Yeah, that's
right. Like you have to be willing to listen, willing to recognize that even if you don't see it as a problem,
mm-hmm.
it is a problem.
Yeah. Yep. And this goes back to the thought I was having, you know, I think we were mentioning earlier about the idea that being the dominant, being the one in charge, gives you free rein to do what you want. And it's the responsibility of the submissive or slave to accept that. Like, that's their job, is to bend and flex and make sure that they can accept that issue, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And I will tell you, I have tried that. And I tried that with a remarkable amount of success, because I'm smart enough to be able to outsmart myself.
Hmm.
And so there have been times when I've said, okay, this is what I need as a submissive person. The dominant's like, well, that's not what you're going to get. And as a submissive or slave, it's your responsibility to accept that. And my first thought going, you are right. It is my job to adapt to your dominance and figure out a way to justify it, because I'm an expert justifier. And at the end of the day going, look, I have perfectly worked out how to make this okay for myself. And then found, great, I did a whole lot of work so that you wouldn't have to actually deal
do any
with
work.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the most telling moments in one of my MS relationships and situations, when there was a lot of shit that needed to be discussed and it wasn't happening, and I had to work up the fucking ovaries to say, I have these issues. They are also your issues, and part of what you are sworn to do in this relationship is to deal with those, and that's not happening. And we need to talk about that now, and have them say, sort of in a laughing way, like, oh, it's kind of funny, because I always thought slaves were supposed to make your life easier, not make more work for you.
Right.
And my first thought was, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm making more work for you. Let me just go. And then I was like, wheel on the brakes. I'm like, okay, hold on. Wait a second. Really?
Let's just take a step back and examine the inherent flaw in your logic.
Let's see what's happening here. Oh, what's happening here is that there's work that you don't really want to do, and it's work that's necessary. And I have to say, that was a moment of accidental transparency, and those happen, right? Where you were just like,
yeah.
Oh, I see. This is one of those, like, you know, in humor veritas kind of moments, right?
Right.
Where you're just like, yeah, that was hilarious. And now we have an even larger issue. Right. And I, to this day, very grateful to have had that experience, because now about myself, I know I will not go through those sorts of contortions in order to fit someone else's idea of what my submission needs to look like. I need to kind of come in and be like, here's what you got. Is this mm-hmm. going to work for you? And if it's not, no harm, no foul, you know, move on. But if it is, then you have to take care of that. You don't get the high performance vehicle and then put shitty ethanol in it because you don't feel like getting the high test good stuff.
You're right.
I mean, you can, but then, you know, car breaks down.
Right.
And take fuck care. You. Oh my God. That's okay. Right. We're now we're